always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Another thing interesting in this polling was more independents said that they worry about President Biden weakening democracy than Trump, 53% to 42%. What do you make of this?
I find it shocking, honestly. I can't, you know, make sense of that number. I wish I could. I wish I had some really great insight to it.
Open your eyes. All right. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show. We'll explain that in a second. It is, what is it? It's Thursday. Thunderdome Thursday. It is May the 9th, 2024, 5:07 in the PM. Thanks for joining us either at 101.9 at 94.1, which I listen to 94.1 almost all the way back from Jefferson City today. So if you're cruising out Interstate 70, that 94.1 signal booms all the way down that I-70 corridor. And if you have any problems getting us anywhere in the region, everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a radio in their pocket. All you got to do is download our app, News Talk STL. You can listen to us not just anywhere in the region, anywhere on the planet. Chris, when my folks, they're back safe and sound. When my folks were over in Spain and Portugal with a church trip, they visited Lourdes as well. Over there. They listened to us 6 hours ahead. So I guess they were going to bed when they were listening to us. They were listening to Mike Ferguson like in the afternoon. Anyway,
crazy.
Our app works anywhere on the planet. Now we have proof positive of that. So there's a million different ways. We got a lot of folks watching us right now and chatting in the chat boxes. We've got Linda, who we met.
Linda,
who we saw in studio the other day. That was Katie's mom.
She had a birthday last week.
She did. Happy birthday, happy birthday to her. Tanya on there as well, along with, I saw a few other folks. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Or Scotty Downey.
Scotty may be working this afternoon. I don't see him yet, but he'll usually chimes in at some point. Yeah, a lot of folks also on Twitter, tons of folks on Rumble, Instagram. There's many different ways to listen to us and follow us around the planet. I'm a little dressed up today, as Chris pointed out earlier. Just came back from Jefferson City, and I'm heading to I didn't take the tie off because I would have had to put it back on. Heading to a town hall this evening. I'm going to be there. I'm going to skedaddle here after the Stewie segment. Stewie's coming up at 5:25. Stewie Rosenblum of the Bagel Loan, the originator of the Bagel Loan. We're talking to Stewie about interest rates, the financial markets, loans, you know, all those instruments, the Fed. We're going to break it all down. Stewie's going to help us make sense and tell us it's going to be all right, even though we're in difficult, challenging times. Heading to a town hall tonight that I'm going to help kind of referee with. It'll be a very friendly town hall. We welcome you to come out at the Marianist Center, which is on Highway 109 in beautiful Wildwood, the home district of Justin Sparks, State Representative Justin Sparks, and he's going to have special guest Will Sharp.
I was going to say, I thought I saw somewhere where there's a special guest today.
Yes, Justin Sparks and Will Sharp. We're going to be talking about what's going on in Jefferson City with 1 week left. We'll be talking about law and order, crime and punishment. We'll talk about the Trump trials because Will Sharp is on the Trump legal team. It'll be a really cool town hall. It starts at 6:15. I think they're going to have coffee and cookies, and that'll be my dinner. And and we'll be wrapping up promptly at 7:30. Justin and his gang, want to give a big shout out to Niles. They'll keep us on track. In the meantime, Chris, back to, first of all, hello, everybody. Chris is with me in the studio, and Joey V is here as well. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Stewie at 5:25. You don't want to miss ever the 5:45. That is not some throwaway segment. First of all, we tell you what's coming up on Larry Connors. We always have all the details on Larry's show, which follows at 6:05. We often have a ton of stuff in our respective stacks of stuff to deliver to you. And as a bonus, you often get a producer Joey V movie review.
Yes.
Today, Joey's going to tell you all about The Fall Guy.
I've been doing my own stunts all show long, just so you guys know.
You know, and Fall Guy wasn't a show that I watched back in the 80s when it was in its heyday. That show I never did watch. I was just like, no, you're Steve Austin, $6 million man. You're not a stunt man. Get out of here.
I did the same thing with voices for cartoons. The guy who did Raphael and the Ninja Turtles. He was a SWAT cat on this other show. I was like, what are you doing? That's exactly the same guy. Whose voice is this?
Two of the most popular actors of our current time are in The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. I really liked Emily Blunt in the movie with Tom Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow. Depending on when you saw it.
Edge of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that was fascinating. That was a really fascinating movie where they kept, it was like Groundhog Day. It was like a Groundhog Day sci-fi movie. Oh, and it was really cool.
What's the name of it?
It's called Edge of Tomorrow.
It's also called Live, Die, Repeat, depending on when you found it on DVD or Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. When it was in theaters, it was called Edge of Tomorrow. And people just didn't really know what it was. It was a great hit among critics, but then it didn't make as much money, so they thought maybe the title was the problem.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they changed that.
Does that work, Joey? Usually?
I changed my name. I have a secret past, and look at me now. I'm thriving.
Are there instances of that where a movie, they changed the name and it did better later?
There was a DC movie called Birds of Prey, but then they changed it and put the Harley Quinn name in there, because Harley Quinn is the big box office draw right now, because she's the great lady who's in the Batman movies, so they changed the title after that, and I think it did help out.
Okay.
Oh, you just said something, Joey, that made me think of the fact that we spoke with the good folks at Thrive St. Louis the other day, and today's Giving Day.
Yes.
Today's Giving Day. We don't want folks to forget that. We still have another, looks like 7 hours. 7 hours left. 7 hours, 48 minutes left in Giving Day. Go to thrivealivestl.org. Thrivealivestl.org. And you can give to the Give STL program. Make Thrive, number one for 8 years in a row?
This would be the eighth year.
Okay, let's do it. Come on, folks. Let's help Thrive out. Go to thrivealivestl.org if you haven't made a contribution. I need to still make a contribution. I'll do that before the end of the day. And you can help Thrive be number one and help a lot of men, women, and children along the way. Thrive is empowering life and healthy choice.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I thought you were going there. We all got a text this afternoon. We had Levi Hart, who is with Thrive. He was in the show yesterday talking about St. Louis Giving Day today and how they were hoping that the folks would kick in. And someone listening to him yesterday, listening to us, Tim, gave $10,000.
Whoa!
To Thrive from listening to Levi do his interview
on
our show.
Does he say that to every host?
I guess so.
That feels
good.
But,
yeah. So, you guys came through. $10,000 check.
That's amazing. Chris, as you're talking, I'm trying to pull up the leaderboards
here. And they match that, too.
Yeah.
So, doubled. That's incredible.
Thrive is already over $180,000 raised. And so, they're doing extremely well. And I'm trying to see. I don't understand how. Oh, here they are. Oh, hey, folks. Their number. And so they have different levels. So depending on your overall charitable budget, so Thrive is in the large category of $2 million to a $5 million annual budget. And Chris, it looks like they are number two right now.
Come on, everybody!
Maybe they're number one.
We need to make sure. Of that.
Anyway, you got to keep them on the top. Make them be on the top. So go to givestlday.org. Go to givestlday.org. Thrivealivestlday.org. So help Thrive out. Make them number one once again.
And thank you if you're listening to the person that gave the $10,000 check yesterday because they heard our interview. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate your gift.
Thank you so much. Look at the awesome people that listen to News Talk STL. Exactly. And whether you can give a dollar or $1 million, if you want to give $1 million, that's fine. But if you can give a dollar or more, we want you to go to givestlday.org. Donate to Thrive St. Louis. They've already raised over $180,000 from 146 donors, closing in on their goal. So help them out. Chris, you heard. Who was that? That was who would you play? MSNBC? MSNBC, Chris, is shocked. That independent voters, shocked, I tell you, that independent voters think that Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump. Chris, that was one of their, that's been one of their prime narratives, and it's falling apart as well. You know, maybe, Chris, it's because Joe Biden has an attorney general who is going after people who simply want to pray in front of abortion clinics or go speak at their kids' school boards for the woke weirdness. Maybe it's because that Americans are being targeted and pro-freedom and liberty 501c3s are being hammered by the IRS. Maybe it's because that Joe Biden is such a disaster. I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons.
I think you could go on and on and on. There's a whole lot of reasons why.
Yeah, probably not that surprising. And that will lead me into another thing that Joe Biden completely fumbled and floundered, and that was his response to COVID-19. That's the subject of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me, listen to me. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Peter Roth writing for Daily Caller this week asking, did we learn anything from COVID? Now that COVID's over, did we learn anything from it? Did the Biden administration learn anything from it? Or are they just trying to act like all their authoritarianism? Well, there's another reason why Joe Biden's a threat to democracy. This has been one of the most authoritarian fascist regimes we've ever seen in the White House. Peter Roth saying, the lockdowns instituted during the pandemic were supposed to last a few days, remember? 14 days to flatten the curve, stop the spread, all that baloney. All that was needed to keep hospitals from being overwhelmed. Remember that? It turned into, we're gonna stop hospitals from being overwhelmed. It turned into, well, just stay home forever and maybe nobody will ever get infected. We knew that wasn't going to happen. This is an airborne pathogen. It wasn't going to be stopped by masks or anything else. We would have to beat it like the human race has beaten pandemics like this for millennium. 2 weeks turned into three, then months. Schools were closed. Businesses shut down. Commercial activity was grounded, came to almost a complete halt. The virus kept going no matter what we did. That's what viruses do. We quickly also learned that it wasn't going to kill everyone, right? It was going after certain populations, but not all able-bodied Americans, but we acted like it was. States like California and Kentucky, strangely enough, enforced the lockdowns with ruthless efficiency. The free exercise of worship and assembly was crushed on the altar of public health and safety. Remember, it was okay to go to the strip club, but not to church on Sunday. It's kind of where our society is. Was it worth it? Peter asks. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity, which we often refer to as well, their report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years, 4 years ago, says absolutely not. The authors of that report, the Hoover Institution's Dr. Scott Atlas, who served as an advisor back in the Trump days, Johns Hopkins University economist Stephen Hanke, University of Chicago Casey Mulligan. Look, these aren't crackpots. They concluded by using publicly available data, that's what they used, they didn't make anything up, and peer-reviewed studies, the lockdowns cost more lives than they saved. Let me say that again. The government lockdowns cost more lives than they saved. Has anyone issued a mea culpa or maybe we should have done things differently? Treatise on that subject? No, of course not. Nobody from the government has, at least. Atlas, Hanke, Mulligan, and Phil Kirpin, who we've interviewed many times, and the fourth and final co-author, that was Phil, conclude, the ordered shutdown of our schools, churches, businesses, brought little health benefits while imposing multi-trillions of dollars of long-term societal costs. You know, maybe you're sitting there going, okay, well, Tim, you're so smart. What should we have done? Well, the article concludes by talking about the fact that maybe we should have looked around the world and seen who was performing best during COVID. I know I've beaten this dead horse a million times. That would, of course, be Sweden. The best performing major country in the world was Sweden. They did not employ mandatory lockdowns. To the extent that official and unofficial commissions in many countries have issued reports, they say the principal lesson to be learned from the pandemic, instead of looking at Sweden and what they did, everyone says, everyone is in the government egghead, say, well, we should have just locked down harder and faster. Folks, the evidence doesn't support that. Sweden proves that point. It tells us lockdown policies must never be imposed again. If Phil Kirpin's correct and evidence suggests that he is, then policymakers are drawing all these wrong conclusions. Lockdowns were a failure. Period, the end. Not a success. Other ways must be found to prevent a future outbreak from turning into a pandemic, hopefully before the next crisis presents itself. And folks, that's the Speaker's Stump Speech for today. Chris, it seems that government never learns any lessons when government does things wrong.
Well, you don't have to learn any lessons when you can just burn through other people's money.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. And there's no accountability.
No accountability. Like
there's nobody firing a tenured bureaucrat, unfortunately.
No, they have, what do they call that? I forgot in government when you have a job forever.
They vest. They get tenure.
It'll come. Yeah. Something close to
something like tenure in
civil
the
service civil protection service protection is where I'm going
yes,
there.
Civil yeah. Civil service protection. Yes. Yeah, can't get rid of a bad bureaucrat. That is for sure. Folks, that was the Speaker Stump Speech for today. We're going to move to our second segment, Lickety Split, here. We're going to take a quick break here. Stewie! Yes, Stewie, the originator, the creator, the founder of the Famous Bagel Loan, will be in studio to talk to us about everything you need to know about current issues regarding the Fed, interest rates, inflation, this difficult, challenging economy, to say the least, and more. Stewie joins us next on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9 94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It seems to be this reoccurring question here in the State House. When is the General Assembly going to pass a state budget? With their backs up against a tight deadline, leadership in both the House and the Senate, though, do remain hopeful. But if a spending plan is not on the governor's desk by the end of day Friday, it could end up costing taxpayers. Many in the State House concerned with each passing minute, the General Assembly is closer to a special session. The General Assembly has only missed the constitutional deadline once, and it was back in the 90s.
And it looks like we're going to be okie dokie because, Chris, they're on budget bill 17 out of 19, so out of 20. So they're almost done in Jefferson City. I know every year there's some calamity, and then we actually get to the finish. Wouldn't it be nice if the federal government operated so reliably?
Yeah, where they had to have a federal, had to have a balanced budget every fiscal year. That'd be fantastic.
Mm. Speaking about economic issues, financial issues, budgetary issues, we've got one of our favorite guests, if not our favorite guest in studio, Stewie Rosenbloom, the originator, the creator, the founder of The Bagel Loan. We'll remind folks what that's all about. Stewie, how you been?
Wow, that's some flattering introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I'm doing great. How are you?
Love it. As Chris was saying earlier, man, you're just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I didn't bring the tequila today, though. You know,
So, Stewie, the big news is the Fed, right? Once again, I saw a bunch of stories this week. Inflation's not cooling. The Fed's talking about maybe hiking interest rates. This is not where we were supposed to be, right?
No, we're supposed to be in a much lower arena over here where rates are much, much lower, but it's not happening. And last time I was here, I told you the same thing my grandfather, my European grandfather said, which is, nobody knows anything.
Obviously. That point's been proven.
So we had interest, we said inflation numbers higher than expected, actually bouncing back up. So it went down to 2.8% January, February, March time, popped back up to 3.5%. And so that's encouragement not for the, for the Federal Reserve not to cut interest rates. And then all of a sudden we had a report that the jobs were great and everything was going stronger. Another indication that the Federal Reserve is not going to lower interest rates. Now you got to think about how all this works. Okay. If inflation is high, which the prices are high, the government wants to make it more difficult for us to borrow money so we don't spend it. If we don't spend it, there's more supply than there is demand. And so all of a sudden you'll see prices drop because people who produce those items, they want to sell them, and if they can't sell them, they got to reduce the prices. That's the theory. If the economy is doing well and jobs are doing well and people are getting paid well, even though the prices are high, they're still spending the money. I.e. also, if the government goes ahead and I'm going to say this, stick my neck out a little bit, erroneously infuses the economy with extra cash where it's not necessary, it's more encouragement to spend money. Prices are going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. So here we are, and that's where we were. And all of a sudden, we saw interest rates drop, and they pop back up because those bad reports came out. And then this past week's reports came out about the employment, and all of a sudden, unemployment's popped up, and people are, you know, jobless claims are going up. And all of a sudden, this is encouraging that the economy's not doing as well as they wanted to. So maybe the Fed will cut the interest rate. So you know what? Nobody knows anything.
Obviously, nobody knows anything.
You know, today it could be down. Tomorrow could be up. You know, this, that. Nobody knows. And the Federal Reserve, you know what? I got to give some credit to Powell.
Okay.
Normally, Powell would say, you know, we're going to raise interest rates. We're going to watch what we're going to do. Last time he spoke, he kind of made a comment of, hey, inflation is stubborn. We're going to watch things, but there still is a possibility that we're going to cut them. And for the Federal Reserve to actually even make that statement or give indication that they're not going to raise them is a pretty, pretty unique circumstance for the Federal Reserve. They don't normally do that. They did it this time. So they kind of calm markets a little bit down. And the recent report that just came out showing that people are kind of losing jobs. You know, that's what the Federal Reserve wants to see, because if people lose jobs, they don't have money to spend, then the prices will drop back. So that kind of activity is encouraging to markets. Okay. That's why you saw the stock market soar today, because stock market soared for one reason only. Now there's a better chance the Federal Reserve is going to cut those interest rates. You saw mortgage rates drop, but you know, Tim, you know, guys, Monday's report can be different, and all of a sudden you're back up there. So you got to take the advantage when you can.
Stuart, all of this economic news is in your wheelhouse, and I've got a question for you that's really in your wheelhouse. I'm looking at my computer right now, Yahoo Finance.
Mortgage rates drop for the first time in 5 weeks. Is this sustainable or is this a trend?
Well, what did my Tim? What did my grandfather always say?
Nobody knows anything.
Come on. So that's the answer. That is the answer. You know, everybody predicted by this time last year, by this time, that the interest rates will be down almost a whole percent, and they're not because inflation is stubborn. You know, I think the Federal Reserve is going to have to reevaluate the level that they want to be. They want to be at 2% inflation.
Yeah.
But, you know, with wages going up the way it is and demand for jobs and everything that's happening, maybe they need to reevaluate that floor, and maybe 2.5% would be the proper number. I'm not with the Federal Reserve. They don't listen to me. They should maybe sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an arrogant, but they should listen to people that are in the general markets to see what's happening. But you know what? You know, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. Politically motivated or not, they're gonna do what they're gonna do.
You know, you described something as you were talking to us here that Chris and I have talked about a lot. By the way, folks, we've got Stewie Rosenblum in studio, stewartsamc.com, home of the bagel loan. You described stagflation, right? Where we've got competing aspects of maybe a slowing economy, but yet still rising inflation rates, right? That's stagflation. A lot of our audience don't know what the heck that is because maybe they weren't around in the 70s or they were too young to recall.
That's a bad word.
I know. I don't like to use it, but
it's a bad word.
Kind of like what we're seeing, right?
It is exactly. It's the economy growing, jobs going down, and inflation keep going up. So it's a weird phenomena, and it could be headed that way. Mm-hmm. I think we're headed towards an overall correction. I think the employment numbers we've been seeing are in sectors that are government or medical related. And once those calm down, I think you'll see a slowing economy. And when you see a slowing economy, then you'll see the Federal Reserve cut rates. If you talk to people on the street, they're not full of cash in their pockets. They're not saying I can afford everything. They're saying I can hardly pay my bills. Mm-hmm. So the average person we see in our office, they are struggling, and eventually that's going to trickle down to the reports that we need to see, and eventually we're going to see interest rates drop down to, I think, anywhere from a half to a whole percent from where it is now. But for right this moment, for today, you saw a drop in interest rates. And if you're in the market to refinance or you want to buy a house, take advantage now. You can always refinance it later.
Mm-hmm. Stewart, there are reports trickling out that if Donald Trump returns to the White House, one of their economic policies is to devalue the dollar. Tell us exactly in simple terms what that is, and is that good or bad for the economy, specifically the mortgage business?
Well, it's good for gold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it won't be good for gold. You know, the value of currency is definitely up in the air. I think there's a lot of discussion out there of whether or not the country should go back to the gold standard, not go back to the gold standards. You know, devaluing the dollar, not devaluing the dollar. I personally believe that if you have an administration that comes in that is corporation friendly, that is tax friendly, you're going to see those inflation numbers kind of drop. You know, my theory has always been that if you have large inflation, it's because you have less supply. Right. If everybody wants to buy a specific car, the price of the car is going to go up. So instead of going ahead and penalizing people to borrow money so there's less buyers out there, why not do tax breaks or some kind of incentive for manufacturers to produce those items that are higher in demand? If you do that, there'll be more supply inadvertently. You'll encourage the economy to grow at the same time. Jobs will be expanded.
Giveaways to the rich and all that, the top 2%. That would be the, I mean, I agree with you 1,000%, but you know that, unfortunately, that would be the refrain. All these are just giveaways to the rich and to the business people. And
yeah, I don't know. When Trump was in there or Reagan was in there, I think the economy did quite well.
We grew our way.
I agree.
Yeah, we grew our way out, right?
That's
you
it.
Have to grow your way out.
In 1919, when the Spanish flu came and hit, okay? Right after that, you know what the inflation rate was? 21%+.
Really?
Right after, the year after. 2 years later after the Spanish flu, -16%.
Whoa.
Why did that happen? It happened because there was an opportunity for the supply chains to rebound, to recoup. Jobs were put back into place. People got back off on their feet. And manufacturers were out there starting to reproduce the items that were needed. Why not apply that theory again? It's going to take a little bit longer because we're a worldwide economy, but why not apply that theory again? You go ahead and increase production, increase the supply, the prices will come down, and inflation. The only way you're going to do that is by giving corporations incentive to produce. If you're going to overtax them, why would they want to go out and produce more? So, I can't get into the political debate one way or another, but that's always been my
perspective. You're talking economics. Yeah. And Stewie, you mentioned that, even in challenging times, opportunities are out there. And there's a lot of people, you can't just put your entire life on hold for the infinite future. And so if folks are thinking about buying or refinancing, they should give you a call, 314-324-4440. You mentioned in our break as we were coming, you've got some unique products and programs for the right individuals.
For the right individuals. Yeah. So if you're self-employed, one of the challenges you have is you're smart and you try to write off your income legally as much as you can. You're not showing any money on your tax returns. And if you're trying to buy a house, that can be a little bit of a challenge because banks want to see what you're making and they can't determine that factor. So we have a program that's based on the cash flow of your business. It's based on the deposits you make. On the flip side, I actually had a self-employed borrower or customer. And he had not filed his tax returns for 3 years. And He owned, I know. And not the greatest thing, where he owned about 10 rental properties. And he wanted to go ahead and get cash out on those rental properties. And he wanted to buy some more. And those individuals that are in that specific arena, or you have tax returns and you're not showing enough income to qualify for those other purchases, there is a product that we have that will allow you to get financing, cash out, or buy a house totally based on the amount of rent that you're going to get on the house.
Oh.
We don't ask you for tax returns on your house. We don't ask you to prove what you're making. We simply look at the rental income on that particular property. You got to have a little bit of money in reserves, maybe a retirement account or something like that, and we'll give you the loan.
Oh, so fantastic.
But it's not subprime market, okay?
I remember when I was in the mortgage business back in the day, we called it something similar to that, a no-doc.
No-doc. This is a very, very highly limited doc. How's that? But you can do it. And we closed, I think, last week, like 15 transactions based on just the debt service. So it's an opportunity.
Oh, very cool. Mm.
Seward, I've got to ask you, we get away from banking, finance, economics for a minute, get personal a little bit. We know the situation that's going on in the Middle East with Hamas and that war. You are a Jewish American. Does it disappoint you to see what we're seeing on these college campuses with these young kids expressing these anti-Semitic sentiments?
Well, this is an area that is very difficult to actually acknowledge. I mean, here we are in the free United States of America, and propaganda and international funding has caused a huge spike in anti-Semitism. It goes beyond that. I think that the social media has become the primary source of news for young folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they don't understand the truth or reality of what's going on. And we can go into discussions as Jewish people. You mentioned there's 15 million Jews in the entire world.
Out of 8 billion people.
There are those Jewish organizations, they've contributed. I think they're the highest percentage of contributor or Pulitzer Prize, not Pulitzer Prize, out of Sweden. Nobel Prize. Yeah. I think the percentage is the highest percentage of Nobel Prize. They've contributed to many different, I think the COVID vaccine was created, whether you agree with it or not, it was created by Jewish people.
Second in the world on startups, innovation.
In Israel is
the United States.
So the Jewish people have been a big contributing group as a whole.
To civilization.
and to see this kind of anti-Semitism that's out there, why?
Yeah.
I mean, the group, the Jewish group or the Jewish community is not an aggressive group. We don't look to attack. If we protest, we protest nicely. I remember years ago when I was in college, I protested something. I gave coffee to the police officers that were over there because it was cold outside. So you do it lawfully and peacefully. And as a group, we've contributed and we've done a lot of things. So why all of a sudden this huge anti-Semitism? And I think it's a concerted effort by extremists outside of the United States that have infiltrated and figured out that if we go into these younger folks' institutions and we feed them information, that they will go ahead and they will take that information and they'll swallow it. And all of a sudden you have a totally, there are lists. This is a good show in itself, but there are lists and lists and lists of reasons why the people that are protesting just don't know.
Right.
They're just ignorant. They just don't have the information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had somebody approach me about this, and he asked me, you know, what are the Jewish people? Why is Israel doing that? I said, Israel is the most moral army in the world. They don't want to kill civilians as much as they can. I said, but let me ask you a question. You know, you talk to me about Jewish people and anti-Semitism, and you have this preconceived notion that we control the world. I said, look at me in my eyes. Tell me why you hate me. Mm-hmm. And I said, if your perception that Jewish people are very wealthy, or they do all these kinds of things, are good, and they've done it legally and hard work, so why do you hate them?
Yeah.
Why do you hate them? What did they do? They are successful. They work hard. Mm-hmm. They contribute. Why do you hate them?
Well, and Stewie, as you referred to, there's a lot of nefarious actors around the globe who don't like beacons of freedom and liberty. Well, who are the two best? Israel in the Middle East, and the United States in this hemisphere. And so people attack us, all of us, because of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is a long discussion. It's a personal discussion. It's very disappointing to see these young folks out there who are totally uneducated as to what the reality is. I've seen individual groups that are protested against Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw there was a gay group that was protesting for Israel, and I have lots of friends that are gay. Do you know what they would do to you in Gaza if you were gay? They throw you off the building.
We talk about that.
You're actually protesting for something, for your own demise. So why would, you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. I want to ask you a question. How does it make you feel as a Jewish person when you hear that George Soros and Pritzker are funding groups that are supporting these Palestinian students?
Well, how do I feel about it? In what respect?
I think one of our listeners who is Jewish, he said that they're a capo, they're a traitor to do that in a sense.
You know, I hate to say this, but I can't explain it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that there are people out there that are so angry or mad about, you know, I had a person approach me once, and I'm Orthodox.
Sure.
Okay. And I believe in God. And by the way, with everything that's out there, you know, with the Biden decisions that recently happened and stuff like that, I happen to believe in God. And so I'd rather have God on my side and the rest of the world against me than God against me and the rest of the world for me.
There you go.
So I believe, and I have comfort in the fact that he's in charge, and or she's in charge, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, when I see these people, individuals, sometimes people, you know, they get resentful of the fact that they are who they are and they're not living up to their manners, and they reverse. They go the opposite direction. I don't know George Soros. You know, I don't know the Pritzker family. I find it very, very hard. You know, there's a small group of Jewish people that are anti-Israel. You know, I don't know what to say except that they're a very, very small percentage. And in every group you have, there are human beings that are just happen to be a challenge for the rest of the people. I mean, I've seen African American people saying bad things about African American people. I've seen Catholics say things. So, you know, it's a small group. Unfortunately, they make a lot of noise, and that's what happens. But, you know, reality is going to set in if Israel and this country keeps on the path that it is. Maybe not in our generation, but in the next one and the one after that, reality is going to set in, and this country is not going to be the republic that it was meant to be, or what it is today, even today.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you do something about it, you know, that it's not going to happen. Why should I have to go on a campus with my children and be physically harassed?
Mm-hmm.
When there were other types of protests going on in the African American community, okay, were people throwing trash cans at them? No, that's not a peaceful protest. I don't mind engaging anybody in debate.
Yes.
You know, that's what our country is all about. Mm-hmm. But once you start to cross the line, and the fact that this is happening everywhere, it's disheartening.
That's exactly right.
Tim, sell some bagel loans. We got too deep here.
Well, Stewie, we went around the world there in about 14 minutes, and we think you're a wonderful human being. You're very generous. You've helped a lot of people. You and your company have helped a lot of people live the American dream. So we want to thank you for everything you do for us here. Folks, we've been speaking with Stewie. He's the creator, the originator, the founder of the bagel loan, 314-324-4440. Stewie, before I let you go, any final things people need to know about, you know, financing these days, loans. I mean, the big loan means zero. It's a big, giant zero. So what do folks need to know before we let you go?
I would tell them that if you're on the sideline and you're kind of contemplating whether you should or shouldn't buy a house, buy it now. Because once those interest rates do go down, it's going to be havoc. There are going to be people coming out of the woodworks that want to buy. There won't be an inventory, and the prices are going to go 10, 20, 30, 40% higher than they are today. So buy it now. Don't worry. I know it's a struggle with the higher interest rates, yes, but you'll be able to refinance it for free with the bagel loan down the road. And so suffer a little bit for a 6-12 month period, but you'll be ahead of the game. You pay less at the end of the day.
Could not agree
Wise
more.
Words.
314-324-4440. Stewie, thanks for everything you do for all of us here in the St. Louis region and for News Talk STL.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being candid today. Talking outside of politics and personal things. Appreciate that you sharing.
Maybe
that.
Another time we'll get together. We'll get deep into it. For,
absolutely. We'll
probably need Ben Shapiro for that.
We'll have you back soon. Chris and Joey going to wrap things up because I got to head out to the Justin Sparks Town Hall with Will Scharf. And so we'll be back on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show in just a few minutes here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
But I just wondered, is there anybody on the panel who thinks that we should not deport students who are here unlawfully, who are engaging in this activity, who are calling for the death of Jewish students, who are violating the laws of the United States? I mean, shouldn't we be deporting these people? Does anybody want to defend it and say, no, we shouldn't? They should absolutely be here. I think it's indefensible. The record reflects there's total silence from the panel. You know, I also think we ought to cancel the student visas. And I've called for this. For those who are here from other countries with a visa, I think if they're part of this, we ought to be canceling their visas.
548 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harb Show. The senior Missouri senator there, Josh Hawley, talking a little common sense there. If you are a foreign student and you are protesting against America or calling for hate speech against Jewish Americans, you should definitely be deported and sent home. No questions asked. That should be a no-brainer situation right there. Hey, Joy, there's something that that happened the other day that was kind of nostalgic in a bit. I remember back around 2009, 2010, the Tea Party was born out of frustration with Obamacare, and we've seen how the Tea Party has had a tremendous impact on the Republican Party. But according to Politico, FreedomWorks, the organization, is closing their doors. They were the first major Tea Party organization back in the day. They are blaming President Trump for the reason they are shutting down. President Adam Brandon said the decision to shut down was driven by the ideological upheaval of the Trump era. This is according to them. After Trump took control of the conservative movement, Brandon said a huge gap opened between the libertarian principles of FreedomWorks leadership and the MAGA style population of its members. So FreedomWorks, you see their people all the time on all the cable channels. They are no more. Bernie Sanders, you know, Joey, I don't agree with Bernie Sanders a whole lot of the about anything, probably 0%. Bernie said a comment that makes so much sense, and it kind of fits in with my theme that I've been sporting here lately about the unity within the Republican Party and being pragmatic in politics in general. Bernie said this, and I agree with it. He said, "You have to have a certain maturity when you deal with politics, and that is, yes, you can disagree with somebody. That doesn't mean you can vote for somebody else who could be the most dangerous person in American history, or not vote and allow that other guy to win." I agree with that sentiment, not so much against President Trump, but you disagree with people in politics. You're not always going to be 100% with them, especially those that believe just as you do. And finally, Joy, before we get to the movie, I want to talk about, you know, the Olympics are coming up in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
When
I think
is
the
that?
Torch is already lit.
Is the torch already
they're
lit?
They're running around the world right now.
Goldman Sachs has been warning their bankers about scheduling business trips to Paris from July 24th and the 14th. Goldman Sachs told their employees in an email that any trips to France
between July 21st and August 14th must first get approval from its finance department. So no slickety-slick stuff there saying I need to go talk bonds here in Paris, and it just so happened is around the Olympics.
Pepe Le Pew, you know I love you.
Listen to that beautiful French accent.
I think we got to go and do a research trip like Tish. Tish going to Canada to learn French. We need to go to France.
I love that. I forgot. I can't believe you had that somewhere. I forgot all about that.
You know, Katie
that.
Put some silly stuff on these hotkeys.
She does put some silly stuff up. All right. Let's talk about this new movie, The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Is she related to the Blunt family here in Missouri, the politicians?
No, I think she's related to the famous Bob Marley family, who is Blunt? Known for their Blunts.
You need the free drinks after three, whatever. Okay, Joey, The Fall Guy movie. Now, my understanding, this is taken off the old 80s television show with Lee Majors, where he was a stunt guy.
Yeah, Colt Seavers, same name.
Mm-hmm. Colt Seavers. Now, to me, Joey, I've talked a lot of time when we talk about Hollywood and TV and all that, there's not a lot of creativity in Hollywood. There seems to be kind of just a lack of creativity.
IP. Yeah, existing IP. They don't want to take a chance on original stories, so they reach back into whatever they own in these big conglomerates, and they say, you know what? We had a TV show back in the 80s we have the rights to. Let's make that.
So tell me this. Shows like, movies like this, mm-hmm. are they appealing to my generation and older generation that remember this as a TV show, or are they appealing to a younger generation that, hey, this is a good storyline, and let's roll with it?
I think they're both. They're appealing to all the quadrants. You get the sexiest guy in Hollywood with Ryan Gosling. You get one of the sexiest ladies, Emily Blunt. And then you have a soundtrack that's mostly kind of 80s hair band stuff that Mike Ferguson in the morning likes. And then you got the 80s TV show that people remember that they're willing to give a chance on. And then you got the biggest stunts you've ever seen. Just people who want to see stuff blow up.
Okay, and I think I said, might have been earlier in the show, before we started or during the show, I was not a Fall Guy Got watcher it. During Fall Guy Guy when it was on in its heyday. Did not watch it. You weren't even alive.
I was not alive, so I did not watch it.
All right, give us the review of The Fall Guy by Joey Vasevich.
Oh, sure. It's a lot of fun, but I was expecting a different movie. I often, when I get the chance, I avoid trailers completely. So I didn't know what this one was going to be mm-hmm. about. I knew there would be some big stunts
okay.
and some good-looking people. So my first thoughts was, oh, it'll be really cool if this movie was about the inside workings of Hollywood and being on the set
okay.
of stunts. But it does start out like that, and then it has this whole side story that I did not like that much, where they make him a detective. He's got to find a missing actor, and then there's a big frame job that happens to him, and there's, you know, hijinks ensue. And then
that's how it was during the TV show, so though. I mean, he was a stunt man, but they would somehow solve crimes too, right?
Yeah. So I should have done more research. It was like a TV show. It was a madcap romp through Australia and all these movie sets and big explosions and. So I didn't love the side story. I don't know if you've watched Ted Lasso. Yeah, there's a gigantic 7-foot-tall woman on that TV show.
That's Game of Thrones, isn't it?
I think so. Same woman.
Did Lee Majors make a cameo in The Fall Guy?
I can't tell you, but if you stick around, there's a stinger.
So Lee Majors may or may not
make an appearance, and the theme song from the show makes an appearance at the end as well.
I didn't watch it.
There's a giant lady from Ted Lasso. She was the big boss on that show.
Oh, yeah, the English lady. Mm-hmm.
She's in this, and she is the most annoying woman I've ever seen in a movie.
She's not a giant woman, is she? She's pretty tall. But
probably compared to Jason Sudeikis.
Or
British people, yeah. I mean, she's ripped. She's got some guns on her. So her character was terrible. They have the rights to one Kiss song, and they play it throughout the entire film for some reason. They have it.
What song is that? Sweet 16?
No, the disco one.
Christine 16?
I Was Made for Loving You.
Yeah, Kiss had a disco song?
You don't remember that one?
No, I don't.
I was made for loving. I bet Mike Ferguson has it on
probably has it.
On here somewhere. So it's still a lot of fun, but there was a couple things that I did find annoying. The score, that actress, the side story, but the inside workings of Hollywood, I really enjoyed that. Because there's a push for the Oscars to give out awards to stuntmen now.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
So they make jokes about that. It's a very knowing film. It's meta. Mm. It winks at itself. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the charisma of the two characters. So if you like those two characters, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, you'll definitely like this film.
So on a scale from 1 to 5, or in the Siskel and Ebert rating system, is a thumb up
or a thumbs down? Is it four rotten apples or whatever they call it, tomatoes, or three?
How many
what's
bags
the deal?
Of popcorn yes. are we giving it? I gave it a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5? That's not bad.
I was laughing the whole time. You know, it's 2 hours and 10 minutes, so it could be a little shorter, but I didn't feel the runtime. So just for that, I'll give it 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, and that is The Fall Guy. Mm-hmm. It's starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Just may do that, Tim. Joey, excuse me. Thank you for that review there. Good show today. Tim is at the town hall meeting with Justin Sparks, Representative Justin Sparks. Up next is Larry Connors, USA. He'll talk about Senator Graham hits Defense Secretary Austin with a question that left Austin stuttering. And what could go wrong if the Biden administration federalized the National Guard? That's on Larry Connors USA. Up next from 6 to 8, you have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.